The Torah of Parshas Vayishlach is once again in Trei Asar. And this time, it's not correct to say that it's in the book of Avadia, because it is the book of Avadia. We only have one other Torah we'll read an entire book, and that is it's Yonah on Mincha on Yom Kippurim. So, I was thinking about doing the Avtairis. I think rather than our goal of just sort of learning the Avtairis, the goal is really to be familiarize ourselves with Tanakh in general. And the Avtairis are an emtsai, a method by which we can be familiar. So I'd like to talk to you a little about Avadia, and then read about his Nevuah. Avadia is the smallest book in all of Tanakh. It's only one parak, the only sefer that's only one parak. I believe it's 22 psukim, and that's the Haftarah. Who was Avadia? Many of the books of Trei Asar start by telling us when the Navi lived. It tells us he said Nevuah during this, that, and another king. It does not say that here in the case of Avadia. And according to almost all the Rishayim, the reason is that Avadia is already mentioned in Sefer Malachim. Avadia lived during the reign of Achav. Achav was the nemesis of Eliyahu HaNavi. He was in the ten Shvatim, the northern kingdom. And the Pasuk tells us that Avadia hid 100 Nevi'im, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and supported them. He fed them and hid them from the evil King Achav, who sought to rid Yisrael of Nevi'im. He didn't like Nevi'im. Nevi'im said not nice things to him. And there are two ways to respond. When a Navi says, do tshuva, you'll get in trouble. Either you do tshuva, or you just kill the Navi, and then you don't have the problem. So he went and killed the Nevi'im. Avadia hid 50 Nevi'im in one cave, 50 Nevi'im in another cave. Ultimately, it was Avadia who Eliyahu sent to Achav to say that Eliyahu is ready to reveal himself, which he did. And the story of Har HaKarmel followed. Avadia appears again a number of years later, after he dies. We have the story in Malachim Beis, which is also a Haftarah, of the wife of Avadia, who says she owes a lot of money. Why did she owe money? So Achav was the king. His son had a racket. Achav was out to kill the Nevi'im. Avadia hid the Nevi'im from his father. Yehoram, Achav's son, lent Avadia money through ribis, through interest, to support, to feed the Nevi'im. So that, he was the son of his father was really looking for these Nevi'im to kill him. He knew where they were, but as long as he was making money on it, he didn't tattletale. He lent Peribis. And, Ribis, for Pekuach Nefesh, is his mutter. And at the end, when Avadia died, he died owing a lot of money. And there we have the story of the Eshes Avadia, who, with whom the miracle of the oil takes place. She locks herself in a room and pours the oil and, becomes wealthy from the miraculous oil which she gets. So that's Avadia. Now, I'd like just to tell you about the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is a personality in Chumash and in Navi, and he always, not always, but often takes a Das Yachid. Mm-hmm. The first Ibn Ezra in Avadia, Ibn Ezra says, Lo yadanu doirei. I don't know when Avadia lived. Mm-hmm. Can't be he's the same one mentioned there in the book of Malachim, Bimei Achav. Listen to this. Kisham ksiv v'Avadia ha'yo yorei es Hashem. There it describes Avadia as having Yerushamayim. Ilu ha'ya zeh ha'navi ba'atzmai, if he himself was a navi, ech yikrenu yorei Hashem v'lo yikrenu navi. Nevuhu ha'mai la'nich nechbedes yaiser. It's better to be a navi than to be a yorei Hashem. So, I suppose they go together, but, so he said, it can't be the same one. Now, it didn't occur to him, apparently, that it could be, he said Nevuah later. After all, Achav was out to kill all the Nevi'im. He didn't kill Avadia. Avadia only had one Nevuah. The Nevuah we're going to begin now. And, that Nevuah apparently came later. Avadia, the Gemara says, was a ger. He came from Edom. He was descendant of Esav. And he was Megayer. And he said the Nevuah we're going to learn, which is about the ultimate downfall of Edom. And that's what the Nevuah is about. The Gemara says, Yava Yavadya, who lived between two Rishoyim, Achav and Izevel, and didn't learn from their actions. And he'll say a Nevuah to about the destruction of Esav, who lived between two Tzadikim, Yitzchak and Rivka, and didn't learn from their actions. So that Avadya was given this one Nevuah to say a prophecy about the downfall of the country he comes from. He was born an Edomi and was Megayer. And here he gives his one Nevuah about the ultimate downfall of Edom. Let me begin the words and then explain to you who Edom is, what Edom is, and what the Nevuah is about. Chazayin Avadya, Koy Omer Hashem Halikim LeEdom. Now Chazayin is a strong Lashon of Nevuah. Most famous? Shabbos Chazayin, right? It's Chazayin Yeshayo. It's a language of a certain Nevuah. Koy Omer Hashem Halikim LeEdom. Shemua Shomanu Me'es Hashem. We have a message from God to Edom. He's not saying it to the Jewish people. Actually, he's saying it to the Jewish people about Edom. Tzir Bagayim Shulach, messengers were sent among the nations, Kumu v'nakuma aleha l'amalchama, that the nations of the world will do battle with Edom. Who is Edom? So, Edom is the Western civilization of today. The Barbanel wrote a number of books, and mostly it explains Navi, and every once in a while he has this long Arichus, which escapes people because it's somewhere hidden in the middle of Navi. So he has in Yeshaya a piece about Christianity, which he was familiar with. He was from the exiles of Spain. And the fact that Christianity is Edom. In the Nevuah of Daniel, the prophecy is that there are four kingdoms. There are four kingdoms that stand up against the Jews, starting from the Churban Bayis Rishon. The first we call Golos Bavel, with the Babylonians who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. The second is Golos Paras u'Madai, which is the Persians, and Achashverosh, Purim is a part of that. The third is Yavan, which is the Greeks, which is Hanukkah. So that really, for Bavel we have Tisha B'Av, Paras u'Madai we have Purim, and Golos Yavan, which is the third, we have Hanukkah. And then the Churban Bayis Sheni is in the hand of Titus Melech Roimi, Rome in Edom, are synonymous. Esav and Edom are synonymous, and it's a different galus. In the Nevuah of Daniel, each of the first three, Daniel has two dreams. In one dream, each comes as a part of a statue. So, each of the first three kingdoms is made of one metal: gold, silver, copper. But Edom is a composite of many different parts. The same thing in the second dream, the first three kingdoms, each is one animal. And the third animal, which is Edom, is a composite of many different animals. Because Edom is the long galus we're in, at the hands of originally of the Roman Empire, but all of the Christian countries, the Western civilization is seen as the Hemshech, as the continuation of Edom. And in the Nevuah, it's many different countries. It's not one country such as the first three. Now that's Golos Edom, which is the Golos that we're in today. In the Melchama of Gog u'Magog, about which we know very little, in the Nevuah, Edom is one of the combatants, and the Jews are not the other combatants. The Edom, some interpret against Yishmael, which would fit well with the way the world is going today. Western civilization against the Muslims, again, Western civilization against our president and the Muslims, and that battle is ultimately the destruction of Edom. Now Edom is seen as the thread throughout all of Jewish history. In Eicha and Perek Dalet, we read Sisi v'Simchi bas Edom. In the Bayis Rishon already. Edom was always rejoiced in the downfall of the Jewish people. And whereas the other kingdoms come and go, Edom, the Western civilization that we're talking about today, is the sort of is always there. Christianity is always there. It's Esav. Esav said, "I'm Klal Yisrael." Esav wanted the brachis. Christianity says, "We're the Jewish, we're the chosen people, we're the Jewish people," and that's the hemshach. Now, the pasuk says, "Hine katoi nisaticha bagayim bozui atomaid." I have made you the small among the nations, and bozi atamaid, you're very despised or inferior. Why are they inferior? So it's interesting, the Gemara says, I believe Rashi brings it here, that katan shaloi hayaloi leksava loy lashon. America has no language of its own, and the Romans have no language of their own and no alphabet of their own. They took the alphabet from the world around them. And it's interesting that the Gemara says, the Gemara that was written before all this, Bozi Atamai, that you have no royal line. It's interesting. Certainly in the democratic countries today, there's no line of royal lineage. It seems to work better for the Jews than when there was a royal family. But even in ancient Rome, it's fascinating when you read the history books about the post-Churban period and the Roman kings, the Roman Caesars, there was no royal family. It was a constant, just about, if you became the king or the Caesar, one thing was sure, you were going to die very soon, and by either you'll be assassinated by one way or another. It seems most of them died by being poisoned. It was very dangerous for them to eat or drink. And it seems most of them died by being poisoned. It's just fascinating. You read, when they become Caesar, he's Caesar for 2 years, he's Caesar for 3 years. You know, like, you wonder why anybody would want to be, would want to take their office. Like, you know, it's just, what? The Kangov of the Bayashedi. Yeah, well, so each one thinks, I'm going to be different. I'm the one that's going to make it, right? It's, right. So I don't, But Chazal say, Bozi Atamai, that you don't have a family of Malchus. Well, why a family of Malchus? So it's fascinating that the Mefarshei HaGemara say that when a kingdom has a royal line or a consistent line of leadership, it stands for something. And when you keep on changing leaders that are fighting with each other, You vacillate. You go back and forth between certain values and other values. And then you don't stand for anything. Now we certainly feel that America stands for democratic values, for the rights of people. Nevertheless, in the social levels of morality, it keeps on changing. It constantly changes. And the same people that voted for Reagan as a conservative in large numbers, voted for Clinton not much later in large numbers, because I think it's a healthy thing, because whereas in other countries a revolution means gunfire, here you do it in the ballot box and you let out your steam. So that's good. But anyway, that's the Bozi Atamaid. Now, Zedoin Lipcha Hisiacha Sheikhni Bechag Vesela. Zedoin Lipcha, the wickedness of your heart, Hisiacha, has brought you to the wrong place. You who dwell in the clefts of the cliff, in high places, you say in your heart, who will ever bring me down? So this just can't help but remind me of a discussion we had. I think I mentioned it at the Shabbos table about a month or two ago. I have these two girls from the former Soviet Union who live in our house. One is the third year, one's the second year. There's a lot to be said for them, 17, 18-year-olds who pick themselves up and go halfway around the world to people they don't know. These two girls were fortunate enough to end up in my house, but they could have ended up anywhere. And we were talking at the table, and I told them, in the late 1800s, everyone was sure that Tsarist Russia was forever, and a great body of the Jewish people, maybe the most organized body of Jewish people, was in Russia. And it's just amazing that now there's not much, certainly, of religious life in Soviet Russia. The same thing with Europe. Europe in the turn of the century, we were sure that Judaism would be in Poland forever and in Hungary forever, and it's not there anymore. And then we started talking about America. If you think America will always be America, and there'll always be Jews in America and religious life in America, and kosher sushi for sure, in America. So we're confident that it's here forever till Mashiach comes. But history says that we're not right. It's not forever. I'm sure it'll be as long as I'm alive, because I can't imagine it changing suddenly. But look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Sheikhni b'chag v'sel marayim shifta, you sit up high, Omer b'libay mirei deni eretz, no one's ever going to knock me down. In tagbia kanesher, you think you're as high as an eagle? In Ben Kechavim Simkinecha, in between the stars, you've placed your nest. Misham Oyritcha No Mashem, you'll come down. You can't help but noticing the comparison to the eagle, which is the United States, and even the stars and stripes, you're missing the stripes. In Ben Kechavim Simkinecha, Misham Oyritcha No Mashem, you're coming down. Im Ganavim Ba'olacha, Im Shoyde De Laila, if thieves will come, those who rob you at night, ech nidmesa haloyignevu dayam. Ech nidmesa means how are you foolish? How did you live in Olam Hadimyan? The thieves of the night will clean you out. In Beitz Rimbolach haloyashiro eleilois. If people come to steal the grapes from your vineyard, they usually leave something over. But the destruction of Edom will be so complete that Ech Nechbesu Esav Nivu Matzpunav. Esav will be totally cleaned out, its hidden places emptied. Ad Hagvul Shulchucha Kalanche Brisecha. All of the Brisim, it's also today's world. Countries are confident about pacts they have with other countries. NATO or the like, where countries are confident in pacts they have. History says that countries don't follow through. A country will defend another country only if they're sure they'll win.
Didn't help Czechoslovakia.
What?
Didn't help Czechoslovakia.
Okay. Didn't help the Jews. The Jews at the time of the Churban, had a bris with Mitzrayim. And, the boats set out and they never came to defend the Jewish people. Now, the constant, we'll just finished the pasuk. Yochlu lecha anshe shlemecha. Those who you thought are the people who you have a bris with, a bond with, they're the ones who are going to get you. Lachmecha yasimu mazar tachtecha ein tevun habay. The people with whom you have peace, who eat your bread, instead mazar tachtecha. Instead, they hurt you ein tevun habay. And you lose your tevuna. Now, tevuna is again saying that the ultimate Edom is a nation of geniuses, of intelligent people. The language of the Medrash here is that if someone tells you Chochma be'Edom tamin, and it is that way today, the incredible technological advances, and it's mind-boggling. If you look at a car, it's mind-boggling, and If you look at a little cell phone, it's just incredible, the advances. And the Navi says, Haloi b'yamuhuno mashem v'avadati chachomim meyadai musfuna meharesav. Today, to win wars, you have to be smart. You have to be intelligent. It's not brute force anymore. And when the intelligence is lost, it's a loss. Now, the understanding here is that the midah of Edom is gaiva. Is gaiva sim bechag veisela. The midah of Bavel, and certainly a part of some other, was taiva. The difference between taiva is the desire for pleasure. It certainly exists today. The midah of gaiva is a haughtiness. There's a basic difference between the two. When you have taiva, after a while, you just can't keep on eating forever. After a while, you get full. Taiva is a limited Yetzirah. Of course, you wait and you work it off and then you can eat again. But there's certain limitations to how much a person can satisfy his taiva. Because it's real. It's something you eat. Gaiva, on the other hand, haughtiness, is phony. It's fake. A person who's proud and looks for people to honor him, there's nothing really there. By gaiva, we say that whatever honor you give a bal gaiva, he just wants more. There's no satisfaction. So that the Churban Bayis Rishon, which had to do with Averis of Taiva and Kingdoms of Taiva, was limited. It was 70 years. Because Taiva, by its definition, is limited. A Golos of Gaiva is open-ended. Because Gaiva has no limit. So we've learned the first eight of these 22 Psukim. And it sort of sets the stage for a description, or don't get your hopes up, a very limited description of the Melchama of Gog Magog, of the ultimate Melchama in the time of Mashiach. And if Mashiach doesn't...